hands are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far, Utah, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel so far. bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we travel so far. Fields lives we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Fields and fountain, moon travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We travel so far. Fields and fountain, moor and
page 423, Joy to the World. Page 423, sing it out on the first verse.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings known. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Brother Alex, will you open us in word of prayer?
Dear God, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight safely. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Pastor. Filled with the Holy Spirit and us also.
Amen. Okay, well, we're going a little bit out of order because we're having a special service. We're having a candlelight service tonight. And so we're just doing one song. We're going to do several songs at the end by candlelight, fake candlelight, but they look like candles. They flicker and everything. So I'll go over all the rules and everything. After I'm done with my sermon, I'll just go over that. We'll hand out the candles. Any child can have them. They're totally safe as long as they're not, like, throwing them across the room or something. We'll be good. But I want to go over the announcements real quick. If you have a bulletin, let's go over the bulletins real quick. There might be a few extra bulletins. Ushers, can you make sure? Does anybody need a bulletin? All right, one person needs a bulletin. All right. On our front of our bulletin, we have our verse of the week. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9:6, very, very famous and great scripture there. And our service times are 10:30 Sunday mornings and 3:30 p.m. Sunday evenings. Thursday is 6:30 p.m. And tonight we're going to skip our normal Bible study, and we're going to just do a service about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him anyway, and everything in the Bible points to Him. It either points back to Him or points forward to Him. And so He's the reason for the season. So we're going to focus on Him a little bit tonight, if that's all right with you. We have soul winning times listed below. And if, I think we didn't, did anybody have a salvation? Just, I don't think so. Okay. But we had four salvations on Sunday, which was great. And a couple family members, huh? Salvation yesterday. Okay, I'm sorry. I did see that. Okay. Yeah, so we did have a salvation yesterday, and so that's great. So that puts our totals closer to 20, I think. Anyway, for the month. But you can look down. You can see the praise report, salvations, baptisms, and attendance. And our attendance has been a little weird lately. We've been having more in the evening service than in the morning service, but I think we had 102 actually on Sunday night, and like I think like I don't know like 92 or something like that in the morning. I can't remember exactly what it was, but that's pretty weird. So that's 2 weeks in a row where we had more in the Sunday evening service. So, and we had plenty of visitors and people visited the church that's been invited here, and so very excited about that. We've had a lot more visitors since we moved to this location, and it's not the Walking Dead walking in, it's actually normal people, so that's great. Anyway, we had our Christmas service on Sunday, and we enjoyed a prime rib dinner afterward. We got to hear the men sing. They did a great job, and the children did a great job as well. And so that's all behind us. But tonight's our candlelight service. And again, it's going to be a little bit different of an order of service, but it's still going to be a great service. So December 31st, we're going to pray the new year in. There's going to be a game night, a ping pong tournament, and foosball, and dinner will be provided. Bring snacks, drinks, or desserts. Maybe there should be a sign-up sheet, wink, 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 in the WhatsApp group. So my wife has become the... Are you getting good at that by now, like putting that in? Okay, good. So so we'll have that all set up. And here's the thing. That's dependent upon the weather, okay? So apparently it's supposed to... Snowmageddon is supposed to hit on Saturday. And so... everything's dependent on the weather. But, you know, if it's too dangerous, I'll call off church on Sunday or Thursday if necessary. But I know there's always diehards who are like, "What do you do, canceling church?" It's like, well, I don't want people to die, okay? So I know you're not going to die. You're Superman in the snow or whatever, but not everybody is. So anyway, so, but I would only do that if it was absolutely necessary. So be prepared for it to possibly be canceled, depending on how much we get, depending on how well they treat the roads. In Washington, they do a pretty good job. They actually put salt on the roads. The salmon scream as they get as it gets dumped out, but the trees cry. But you know, it's okay. It's only every once in a while. So, so anyway, yeah. If the roads are really bad, then I'll probably cancel church. But be prepared to come anyway. So don't just say, "Oh, I'm just going to stay at home and my pink fluffy slippers and not go to church. I'll call it by Saturday night, though. Sometimes Saturday night. So if you wake up early to go to church and there's a thing saying don't come to church, then you'll know. Okay? And so January 1st is our New Testament Bible Challenge that begins on the 1st of January, and it's 9 chapters a day to get the Bible read in 31 days. There's a couple cheat days in there. So it's a great challenge to try to begin the new year off reading the New Testament. January 15th, we have our USA Canada preaching event. So Assure Foundation Baptist North and Assure Foundation Baptist Church Vancouver. We're going to combine forces at Arch State Park, and we rented the building up there, and we're going to have a couple church services there and some fellowship. So there won't be any soul winning plans. So if you want to go soul winning, you want to go up a day early, you can soul win in Blaine or Bellingham. I've actually got people saved up in Blaine before going up there. So I went out with Brother Scott, and we got like two salvations knocking doors there one time. But anyway, that the information that's on here is, if you try to type that into your GPS, it's going to try to take you across the Canadian border, at which they will shoot you and not ask questions. No, I'm just kidding. They just won't let you in. So I'm going to get the specific directions that you need to take, because the Washington State Park said don't take these directions, because they'll take you the wrong way. So I'll get those ready for you, but we do need to put a sign-up sheet inside the WhatsApp group to who's going for sure, okay? And so there's a breakfast planned at 10 a.m. We have the building from 8 to 5, and there's an afternoon lunch provided also. And so just bring yourself and your family, and we'll have a good time. If you haven't met the brethren from Canada, it'll be a good time to meet our leadership and our church members there. And so it'll be a great time. And there's a fireplace there, so we'll have a nice fire roaring and some roaring preaching and stuff like that. So anyway, so one last thing. Friday, February 11th, it's going to be our Married Couples Sweetheart Banquet. Guest preacher will be Pastor Jonathan Shelley, so he'll be preaching for us, and he'll also be preaching for us that Sunday. So I've hired him to preach against my enemies. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. That's the accusation, though. But anyway, I had to get that little jab in there real quick. What enemies can I develop between now and then? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we're a family integrated church. You guys all know that. And I'm just going to skip all that for time's sake. I don't think we have any guests here tonight. So Sean had a happy birthday. He's old now. He's 40 or 41? Okay, he was already old last year, so he's old now. All right. Let's sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
If you'll turn to page 264 in your blue hymnal. Page 264. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Page 264, sing it out on the first. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny, from debts of hell thy people save. Shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come, and O and wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and show the path that bring us nigh. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Good singing. At this time, we're going to receive the offering. Brother Sean Herita, if you'll bless the offering.
Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord.
Good evening. Would you please turn with me to the book of Isaiah? The book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9. Merry Christmas Eve, Eve. We're going to be reading from Isaiah, chapter 9, and as is our custom, we'll read the entire chapter, so please follow along silently with me as I read Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible reads, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Brother Alex, can we pray first?
Dear Lord,
amen. All right. Well, the title of the sermon tonight is Jesus Christ, the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus Christ, the gift that keeps on giving. Because the Bible actually says that Jesus Christ is a gift. And of course, it's Christmas time. And so this verse here in verse number 6, if you look down at your Bible, and it's our verse of the week, says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And when you give somebody something, it's a present, right? It's a gift. And so we were given a son, a child, all those years ago, and there was no room at the inn. He was born in a manger. He was, you know, born in a barn and kept in a manger. He was born poor. He had no place to pillow his head as an adult. You know, he basically was the king. He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but took on himself the form of a servant for us. And lived a perfect life so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. He was the second Adam, the Bible says, and he was given to us for the cleansing of all of our sins. So when Christ died on the cross, he died a perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist, when he saw him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so Jesus Christ was that Lamb. But he was born to us. He was given to us by God the Father. And he is, it says he's given. He's given to us. So he is a gift. And he wasn't just given to us one time and that's it. We tell the story about Christmas all the time or whatever. He keeps on giving us gifts. As we live through our lives, he is the gift that keeps on giving. Because he was given to us as a Savior. He was given to us to be able to, you know, be redeemed to God. And so, but those gifts that he keeps giving are precious gifts also. And it's not like he just saves us and then we have to live a horrible life all the time. That's usually not the case. Now, some people it is the case. Sometimes that does happen. But, you know, even if we have a horrible life on this earth and we're saved, you know what? We still have something to look forward to. So I know that, you know, when people are going through a dark time and, you know, people are going through heartache and hardships and hard times with their health. People in their family are passing away. People in their family are not getting saved. And, you know, this world is a hard place. And we have joy in this world, but we also have a lot of hard times. And even Jacob said, you know, few and evil have my days been. You know, so Jacob was one of the greatest men in the Bible, and he said that few and evil were his days. So he felt like he didn't really live that long of a life, because our life is like a vapor, and we don't have much time on this earth to serve the Lord. But, you know, God gives us salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ for absolute free. And there's no other God, you know, small g, I'll say. There's all these religions in the world, and they all say that you basically have to repent of your sins and be a good person. You know, even like the Buddhist, they still say the same thing. You know, they might have these different philosophies, but ultimately it's the same. It's a works-based salvation. You know, but they're ultimately trying to not exist. So that's kind of a weird religion to be in. It's like, hey, my goal is to not exist someday. My goal is to exist forever. And I've achieved that goal because the Bible says you have everlasting life once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But so the son, a son is given to us, and it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he is all those things, and he will be all those things. In the future, you know, he had talked about him being a king, and for this reason, when he was born, and even though he was on this earth, he was still the king, but his kingdom was not of this world. But someday, his kingdom will be here with man at the same time. So his kingdom is not of this world, but God and man shall dwell together in the New Jerusalem. So, but anyway, so number one tonight, and I don't want to preach for a long time, because I want to get into the rest of the service here, but the Word of God is something we need in every church service. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse number 16. Now, number one tonight, the gift of the only begotten Son. So Jesus is the only begotten Son. Now, you that have children will understand this concept well. Which one of you would actually give up, daughter or son, your only child? Would you give up any child for other people that would spit in your face for doing so? You know, nobody would do that. But, you know, God did that. God watched his son be mocked and tortured and beaten and be maligned and lied about and challenged at every step of the way. And he still gave his only begotten son. You know, people think, well, you know, he was just going to raise him from the dead. Yeah, but it doesn't mean he didn't go through what he went through. He still went through those things. They were still real to him, just as real as it would be to any of us. We have everlasting life, but if we, you know, went through some major ordeal with that, that would be something that would leave scars, wouldn't it? And so that would be something that we would carry with us for the rest of our life. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, a man of sorrows, I mean, when you have sorrow, that means that there's a lot of bad things going on in your life. So it's not like Jesus just, you know, had this easy life. He didn't have an easy life. I mean, Joseph was his stepfather, and it doesn't talk about him in his older years. So he probably died or went away. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say. But it seems to me that he lived part of his life without his earthly father. And so that would probably not be easy, you know, to be told that your mother is, you know, people were saying that he was a bastard, that Jesus was a bastard, and that Mary, you know, laid with a Roman soldier and all this other stuff. I mean, he had everything that's been could be said about him has been said about him, not only then, but even today. People use his name as a cuss word. And God the Father gave Jesus as a gift to us. He was perfect. He had no reason for anybody to talk about him. But that just shows you how wicked this world really is, that they will malign and talk about somebody that only has their good in mind. Isn't that crazy? I mean, if you think about that, and some people hate good people. They just despise good people for no reason, but it's just because their deeds are evil, right? So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Isn't that giving him as a gift? "He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so this gift is a gift that is something that can give us everlasting life. And the Bible says all you have to do to get that gift is to believe. Now, I know that there's a lot of other teaching out there, but their teaching's a lie. That's right. Any church that teaches that you have to do anything else besides believe to be saved is not a true church. Any church that teaches that you can lose your eternal secure, or that you can lose eternal life, which that doesn't even make sense, but it says you'll have everlasting life if you believe in him. Now, if you committed some crime or something, and or you stop going to church, or you stop being faithful to God, does that mean that you're not going to have everlasting life anymore? That doesn't even make sense. Everlasting life means it lasts forever. But isn't there churches out there today that will say, oh no, you can lose eternal life? I was reading up, there was a missionary family, there were Mennonites, and they were captured in Haiti, and they escaped in some daring escape. I was reading up about the Mennonites, and the Mennonites believe, you know, that I started reading about them, and they're like the Anabaptists. They came from the Anabaptists, and then the Amish split off from them a long time ago because they said they were too liberal. But I would say that they're just not even saved, because straight in their statements of faith, it says, we don't believe in eternal security. Well, then you're not saved. It's just that simple. If you don't believe in eternal life, if you don't believe you have it by believing in Jesus, then you don't have it at all, because it's eternal. It lasts forever. And so Jesus Christ is the gift of God, and he's the only begotten Son of God. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, he doesn't want to condemn people. You know, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants people to be saved. But, you know, in that chapter in Isaiah, it's talking about his arm is stretched out still. He's still, you know, even though all these people do all these wicked things, how many chances do you see God give people in the Old Testament that are super wicked, and he says, hey, my hand is still stretched out still. I'll still save you. I'll still forgive your sins. But people just slap it away. They don't want it. You know, we go out soul winning, and people just say, I'd rather watch football. Literally. My Niners are playing right now. I'd rather watch football. And again, you know, I can understand if it was a Seahawks. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't understand that either. But, you know, people are just weird. It's like, you have heaven at your door. It came to your door in the form of some soul winner coming to knock your door, and you just shut up the door to heaven. You did it yourself. You know, and there's no big jumbotron in heaven that says, hey, you know, here's all the sins that you committed or whatever. But you know what? God is going to bring those things into your remembrance, I'm sure, at the final judgment. And those people that said, hey, I'd rather watch the 49ers. I didn't know. You knew. And you looked a man of God right in his eyes, and you were just like, what are you doing here? How dare you interrupt my Niners game? But Jesus Christ is the gift, the only begotten Son of God. And he was given to us that we might be saved. He was given to us that we would have everlasting life. And it's quoted over and over again in the book of John. Believe, believe, believe. Eternal life, everlasting life. Now, number two tonight, the gift. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving, and it's the gift of eternal life. I'm going to cover more of the eternal life. Now, look at Romans chapter 6, 23. And I realize a lot of these verses are verses you already know, but he is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, he doesn't just give you life and then, you messed it up. You lost it now. Sorry. No more everlasting life for you. That'd be weird, right? He's the gift that keeps on giving, because once he gives you that gift, it keeps on going forever. And so that's why it's a gift that keeps on giving. Look at Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And who do you get it through? Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's no other way to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And so people that would say, well, there's other ways to get to heaven. No, there's not. There's only one way, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says right there, right? Yes, sir. And it's a gift that he gives to you. Jesus gives you the gift. He's the one that paid for it. Isn't it weird when people would have to pay for their own Christmas presents? You know, I don't like to use that out so long anymore, because I know people that have said, well, I did actually have to pay for my presents. Like, really? Well, your mom's messed up. You know, I've bought my own presents before. I mean, everybody in here, I'm sure, has done that. But here's your presents, Junior. Now it's going to be $5 per present. Like, I can't even imagine that would be true, but I guess it's out there. But we don't pay for our own gifts. Gifts are given to us for free, and someone else has to pay for it. So the salvation, the eternal life, was paid for by Jesus Christ. And he's the one that paid for it with his sinless life and his death, burial, and resurrection. So Ephesians 2, I'll have you turn to John 6:40. I'm going to read Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." I mean, how much more plain can it be? Yet people will still just not get this concept. Right. Isn't it funny when people just get it like that when you're out soul winning? And they're like, you're like, hey, man. Sometimes when people get it that easy, I'm just like, do you know how many people don't get this? Right. Like, they just don't even realize that what they just got, many people have just wrestled with us and struggled with us on these issues. It's like, but you still got to do the works. No, you don't. It's not of works. You know, what part of that don't you understand? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's a gift. So look at John 6:40. It says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." These are the words of Jesus Christ himself right here on, in front of you on your page. If you have a red letter edition, that's him saying that. Do you believe him or not? Do you believe that if you believe on him, that you may have everlasting life? It's not saying you might have it. That it's just like, you may. Here you go. Hey, may I have a cookie? Yes, you may. May I have everlasting life? Yes. You know, that's kind of what it, how it's being said there. Now turn to John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. See, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And he was given to us by the Father. And he was a gift for us for salvation. But he's also a gift for us for eternal life, and he gives that gift for free because gifts are free, right? "My sheep hear my voice," verse 27, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." See how it says, "I give," because it's not earned. See? "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never. How long's never? It's never. It's never ever, right? "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So you can't even pluck yourself out of God's hand. Because are you any man? Well, or a woman? Either, whichever one you are, you can't pluck yourself out of God's hand. So once he saves you, then you can't even pluck yourself out of his hand. Amen. Neither suicide, murder, any sin cannot pluck yourself out of God's hand. Now, is God going to chastise his sons and daughters? Of course he is. Any good parent would do that. But you know what he'll never do? He'll never throw them in the oven. He'll never throw them in hell for any reason whatsoever. Look what it says in verse 29. "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So nobody can do it. Nobody can pull you out of his hand. You can't pull yourself out of his hand, and he gives you the gift of everlasting life. And it's not like something you can give back. See, if I give you something, you could try to give it back, and maybe I would take it back. I don't know. You might be able to give it to somebody else, you re-gifters, you. But this is not a gift you can give back. This is not a gift you can just lay aside and say, this is no longer mine. Once you have it, it's yours forever because it's everlasting. You know, people say, well, you can give gifts back. Yeah, but not this gift. Yeah. This gift lasts forever. Amen. And you can't give it back. There's nothing you can do to give it back. So you can't even give it back. You can't pluck yourself out of God's hand. And so Jesus Christ, when he gives eternal life, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's never going to go away. It's always going to be life. It's never going to be death. The only thing that's going to die is this body that we live in. But that body is going to be raised up from the dead, and we'll have a new body. That's another gift, but I don't have that on my points. But another gift that we get is a brand new body. You know, I'm starting to feel some aches and pains. I'm almost 50. And, you know, over your life, you accumulate pain here and there from different things. You know, people talk about their old war wounds or their old, you know, sports wounds, or you smashed your thumb with a hammer and deformed it or whatever. We get all kinds of little, you know, you sprain your ankle, you stub your pinky toe on the corner of an oak desk, and it never looks the same. You know, I mean, those types of things happen. But you know what? When you get our new body, that can't happen. It's a body that can't die. It's a body that can't be deformed. It's a body that will never experience pain like we experience now. And that'll be great. That's something to look forward to, right? Not waking up and going, oh, my back, oh, my neck. Bring me the massager. I mean, that won't be existing anymore. So, number three tonight, the gift of eternal peace. Now, in our verse in Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse number 7. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. So, the gift of eternal peace, this is a gift that he will keep on giving. Now, right now, we don't have peace in this earth, do we? But again, this is one of those things that you have to look forward to, because it's not here yet. But it's something good to look forward to, because this earth is filled with violence. This earth is filled with crime. Have you noticed how much worse crime has gotten? How many more people flip over on the freeways? I just don't understand that. It's like an unnatural phenomenon in Vancouver or something. It's like every time I see something on the news feed, it's like car flips over, semi flips over on 205. It's like, how does that even happen? Because people are driving like Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. They're driving like they stole something. And it's scary. But there's a lot of crimes out there. I was getting some snow tires at Les Schwab today, and they said, they said it won't be ready until 6. And I said, well, I got to go to church. And they're like, well, you shouldn't leave it in the parking lot, because the last time someone did that, all their windows got smashed out. And they didn't even steal anything. They just smashed all their windows out. It's like, okay, well, I'll be there. You know, I don't want that to happen. But look what it says in verse 7 in Isaiah 9. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So his government, Jesus Christ is going to set up a government. He's the rock that comes and smashes the statue of the world. You know, that statue where it had Babylon as its head, the Medes and Persians, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and then the end times empire with the 10 toes and the 10 toes mixed with clay, miry clay. And Christ is going to come and smash that statue. That whole world system is going to crumble and fall. And Christ is going to be the head of the government. And it says that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So it's going to be a good government forever. Amen. It's going to be a great government forever. It's going to be the way the government should have been set up in the beginning. No taxes, folks. I mean, just look forward to that. Like, they literally just tax us on everything. Gas, you know, your paychecks, state tax, local tax, all different kinds of tax. And it's just getting ridiculous. Now they want to tax our income to help pay for other people's problems and stuff. But they've been doing that for a long time. It's called welfare. But anyway, now, and I don't mind helping people. Don't get me wrong. If people need help, they need help. But it shouldn't be a perpetual, I just don't want to work thing. So, but, you know, in this this government of peace, you know, I couldn't say that it would be a peaceful government if we had to pay taxes. I don't believe that. I don't think that taxes will be a thing. And it says, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the Bible talks about here about an everlasting good government, a peaceful government. So the gift that keeps on giving is this peaceful government that we're going to have. And you're like, well, that sounds unrealistic. Well, it's not unrealistic. It's a fact. It's going to happen. It's something that we can look forward to. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. And this is a pretty cool portion of scripture, but it kind of just gives you a little insight of what this world's going to be like when Jesus Christ is the head of everything. Once he's smashed all these goats, once he's smashed all these devils, once he's thrown the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, all those people are in hell. When the devil is in hell and he's no longer able to come out against us. Look at Isaiah 11:6. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Is that something you'd normally see today? Wolves and lambs hanging out? No. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, talking about a little goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. So you're talking about, I mean, just think about this for a second. You got wolves and lambs dwelling together, a leopard laying down with a goat, and then you got, you know, a calf and a young lion. I mean, a young lion is going to take a calf to pieces right now. You couldn't put them in the same room for any amount of time until that thing would kill it. But it says, the lion shall eat straw like an ox. So, I skipped to the next verse. But a little child shall lead them. So imagine a little child, come on, lion, come on, let's go, come on. You know, kids like take animals and they're just like, the animal looks miserable. They're like holding it, just like, they pick up the puppy and they're like, come on, puppy. And the puppy's like, please help me. The gerbil, they're like, anyway. But the little children shall be able to lead these wolves and these lions around. I mean, how cool would that be? That's a world of peace. That would be a world of peace, right? And it says in verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox, like the ox. So lions aren't going to eat other animals anymore. So they won't need to eat other animals and eat their flesh. They'll eat straw like an ox. So all animals will be vegetarians, apparently, at that time. It says, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. So that's another poisonous snake. These are poisonous snakes. It's talking about a suckling child, a child that's still, you know, breastfed, playing on the hole of an asp. They're crawling, goo, 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 goo. You know, there's a snake hole there, and you don't have to worry about it. You know why? Because the snake isn't going to bite them. That would be a place of peace, wouldn't it? And where men aren't killing each other, when men aren't making weapons of war and hurting each other, and people aren't doing violence to their neighbor. It says in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he calls it rest because that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be any more striving in a sinful world and worried about all the different things that we have to worry about nowadays. And it's going to be a time of peace. And you know what? That time of peace is going to last forever. That's a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? Now, number four, and I only have one more after this, but number four, the gift of daily benefits. So Jesus, you know, even in this world now, we get daily benefits that we don't even realize that we get. Look at Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. And, you know, sometimes we have hard days and we think, oh, man, this, you know, this world is just so bad. But, you know, think about the benefits that you had that day. Did you still have food to eat? Did you still have clothes on your back? Did you still have a place to live? Did you still have shoes on your feet? Were you walking around barefoot anywhere? Did you have to hold up a sign? No. And it's because we have daily benefits. God still takes care of his people. And, you know, he hasn't seen his seed begging. You know, David said he didn't see his seed begging for bread, because the people of God, you know, God is going to bless them. He's going to make sure that we're okay and that we're taken care of. And even if we go through a time of trouble, because, look, we just don't know when what generation we're going to be born into. The people that were in World War II, they didn't know that they were going to be born into that generation. It just happened. Something like that could just happen to us, too. You know, and God could still take care of us through anything like that. We don't know when the end times are going to start. I mean, there's no temple being built right now. And yes, there is going to be another temple, okay? But there, you know, we still have time. We still have time right now to live our lives and to be, you know, carefree for the most part of people not murdering us for being Christians. But that could all change. But you know what? Every day we get blessings from God. Every morning we get new mercies. I mean, we got to think about the benefits that God gives us on a daily basis. You know, do you still have the ability to come to church? Yep. Do you still have the ability to go out soul winning? Yep. Now people yell at you sometimes and call you names and slam the door in your face. But other than that, you know, it's pretty easy going. It's not so bad. You know, you're not walking into a town thinking that you're going to get murdered for preaching the gospel. It's not that bad, is it? So the benefits of Jesus Christ is that he gives us daily benefits. Look at what it says in Psalm 68:19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So he daily loads us with benefits. And sometimes we just don't realize, you're having a bad day, you're having a bad week, you're tired, you're hurt, you're sore, you're achy, you know, and you're just having whatever, you're having a bad week. But just don't forget that God daily loads you up with benefits. He, you know, it could be a lot worse. You could be in a position where you have no food, you have no shelter, you have, you know, people in your family, your loved ones are dying or whatever. It can get worse. And right now, we don't have it that bad. So we got to remember that we have benefits that God gives us every day. And that's a gift that keeps on giving. Yep. To be daily loaded with benefits. It's like the children of Israel were whining because they had to eat the manna in the wilderness. But, you know, didn't they have daily bread to eat? But yet they were whining. That's not a position that we should look at. You know, if you think about Christmas, people just are jacked up about, you know, opening presents and kids. That's their favorite part of it. And I get that, you know, because I still get jacked up about that. You know, I like Christmas. I think it's great. But, you know, I'm not, we got to put things in perspective and realize that, you know, it's not about just what we get. It's not just about what we can earn. But just think about the fact that God daily loads us with benefits. I mean, benefits packages are good reasons to have certain jobs, aren't they? You want to have medical. And that's a benefit, isn't it? It's not something that your company has to do. They give it to you, right? It's kind of an added benefit. So, but God does that too, and we fail to see that sometimes. We fail to see where he's blessing our lives, but in reality, he's blessing us more than probably most people on the whole planet. There's 300 million people that live in the United States. You know, a lot of them are intentionally not being blessed because of the way that they live their life, or they just don't care. But in some countries, they don't have anywhere near the riches that we have. I got like so many King James Bibles, I don't even know how many I have. There's countries where they don't even have one. They don't even have a Bible in their own language. We're daily loaded with benefits in this country, and we should be thankful for that. And not forget that. Number five, and this is my last point, the gift of the kingdom of God. We get to inherit the kingdom of God. See, we'll look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, we're going to inherit all things. We're going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to be able to explore this kingdom, I'm sure, to a certain extent. I don't know what we're going to do in heaven. Honestly, I always tell you that story about how I used to think that it was just us playing a harp on a cloud or something. I'm telling you what, that's not going to be the case. You know, maybe we'll do that for fun one time or something. I don't know, but that's probably, we're not going to be with Sylvester and Tweety playing, you know, the harp or whatever. So we're going to be doing stuff, and we're going to be probably having our own place, building our own stuff, you know, going on adventures, who knows. But you know what I know it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be filled with benefits. You know, it's going to be an everlasting thing that we get to do. But we get to inherit the kingdom of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And so that means that we inherit with the Son. And now he's obviously, we're not going to overtake him in power of some sort. He's obviously God. He's the Son of God. But, you know, we get to inherit with him. All the blessings that Christ earned for us, he shares them with all of us. And that is the kingdom of God he's going to be sharing with us. So he's going to freely give us all things, you know. And so turn to Revelation 21, verse 7. You know, like, well, how much, what are we going to inherit? We're going to inherit it all. Everything. We get it all. And that's a good gift that keeps on giving, amen? Acts chapter 20, verse 33, Revelation 21, verse 7. I actually got to get there. I just wrote that down. Revelation 21, verse 7. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 7, it says, he that overcometh shall inherit, what does it say? Some things? All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So that's great, right? That we get to inherit all things, and that is the kingdom of God is one of those things, you know. Turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 33. Acts chapter 20, verse 33. So the gift that keeps on giving, I mean, there's lots of different things. And obviously, I could probably think of a lot of different things, but I don't want to preach all night. I want to do some singing and some worship of the Lord Jesus tonight. But Acts chapter 20, verse number 33, I got a few more places to turn and we'll be done. It says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's a man that lived by these words. It was more blessed to give than to receive. And he's going to receive a lot of things for the things he gave, because you reap what you sow, right? Even Christ, the Savior, is going to reap what he sowed. The kingdom is going to be his, and he's going to share it with all of us. And why? I mean, I'm not God, so I don't understand why he loves us so much, but he does. Why he wants to give us so much things, even though we don't deserve it, clearly. I mean, but he does. And he says it's more blessed to give than receive. So, I mean, that's a thing that you should think about this Christmas. Are you giving more than you're receiving? Are you giving it all that you can for the Lord? Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. I only got two more scriptures. So turn there, please. James 1, 17. And just remember this, that everything that we get is from God, ultimately. Amen. You know, people think, well, I did this. That's what Nebuchadnezzar thought, too. He's like, this is great Babylon that I have built. And that's when God just like, nope, you're going to be a beast for 7 years. How do you like that? So we think that we're doing all this stuff, but God is the one that ultimately allows us to have the talents and gifts that we have. He allows us, you know, he blesses our lives or curses it. But, you know, we have to understand that it says in James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every good thing that we get, just remember that it comes from God. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from anybody else. The gifts of God are from heaven. Now, last verse we'll turn to is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The Bible says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And just remember that, you know, the existence that we even have in this life, the great family that you have, the great church that you have, all the things that God has blessed you with in your life, and the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, you know, don't forget to thank the God that actually gave it to you. Amen. Don't forget to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the life that you have. You're like, well, I just don't really like my life. Well, maybe you just need to be a little more positive. Maybe you need to learn to get along with people. I don't know what it is, but, you know, he gave us an unspeakable gift. He gave us multiple unspeakable gifts, but salvation, number one, we get saved, we have everlasting life. I mean, that he could have just done that and that's it. But he gives us lots of benefits. We're inheriting the kingdom with him. We're going to be in a government that is actually peaceful and actually does true justice and gives out true judgment. Not like the one we live in now, where you could be sued for anything, for any reason, for any time, by anybody. You know, if you have bad breath, I'm suing you, you have bad breath. I'm sure it's out there. You know, there's just all kinds of injustice out there. You know, there's over 10,000 federal laws. Am I supposed to just read all those and know them like I know the Bible, so I don't accidentally do something wrong so they can throw me in federal prison? I don't think so. That doesn't sound like peace to me. I'm supposed to learn all my local government laws and rules and regulations and lobsters that I can catch, lobsters that I can't keep, salmon that have a different fin on it, and you have to throw that one back, and all this other garbage. Why can't I just fish? There's going to come a time when we are ruling this world with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's a great gift. That's a great benefit. The times can be hard now while we're on this world, while we're in this life. But you know what? You are blessed beyond measure. You just don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes you just got to stop and smell the roses. You ever heard that saying before? And things get crazy, you get busy, and you don't feel like you have time to stop and smell the roses. But I assure you, you should sometimes just stop. Stop running the rat race for just a little bit. Take some time with your family. Enjoy yourself. Amen. Enjoy your life. I'm not saying just it's all vacation, but enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your aunts and uncles and your brothers and sisters and your mom and dad. God didn't bring us here and he didn't do all this for us so that we couldn't enjoy anything. And if you're not enjoying yourself, you're doing something wrong. Because we should have some joy in our life.
Right.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. You ever heard that verse? So we should be thankful, and thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. So when you're at home with your family, enjoying your holiday, just remember to thank God for all the benefits that he gives us, the unspeakable gift of the Son of God, and be thankful for what you have. Enjoy it. Have a great holiday. If you get snowed in, who cares?
Amen.
Somebody else has to plow the road anyway. It's not going to be you. And remember to keep Christ in Christmas. When you do Christmas, do you do some kind of devotional with your family? You should.
Amen.
You should read the story of the, and even if your kids can't sit still or won't sit still, just, you will learn about Jesus. Just give them a smack. But so kids, they're excited. They want to open up the presents. But, are they ruling your house or are you ruling your house?
Amen.
So remember to keep Christ in Christmas. Do some sort of devotional. Read the story about how he was born. Because the kids should know. That's something they should learn growing up. Is it so wrong to actually have a holiday where we actually talk about Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, there isn't very many of them. Most of them are for all these other things that nobody cares about. That's not that big of a deal. But there's only a couple, maybe three, that are even remotely Christian. And Christmas is one of them. And it's about the greatest man that ever walked the face of the planet. And, a child was given to us. A child was born. And his name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all the benefits that you give us, Lord, and the gifts that you keep on giving. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stop and smell the roses. I pray that you'd help us to remember the great families that we have, and Lord, that we would enjoy the things that you've given to us. And Lord, we know that there's some things that are not within our sight right now, but Lord, there are things that we can hope for in the future, a perfect government, and Lord, just all the great blessings of the kingdom of heaven. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us and keep things in perspective in our lives, and Lord, to not be negative all the time, but be positive about the things. Because our future is bright, Lord, and we thank you so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, so now we're going to have the candlelight service, and I'm going to have the only instructions are, you just have to turn. Let me show you real quick. I messed it up. I can show you that I messed it up. What did I do here? Oh, I'm opening it from the wrong end. That's awesome. All right, so basically you just twist it, and it turns on. Okay? We did this last year. See how it twinkles? Like it's real? But here's the sad part is that we have emergency lighting in here, and I'm afraid to hit the breaker. So it's not going to be super dark in here, but maybe that would be best for the kids. I think the kids screamed last year when we turned all the lights off anyway. But what I want you to do, you don't have to turn the lights on now. Let's turn them off for a second. So I'm going to have the song leader come up. And we're going to sing what? How many songs, Josh? Like three, four? Four songs. We're going to sing four songs. And let's sing it out. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's have a great Spirit-filled song service, and then we'll be done. Do you need more? All right. You got one, Josh? You need one? Here.
He turned it on.
He just like this.
I wasn't watching.
That's okay. Just turn it. You just keep yours on. All right. So we're going to turn out the lights as best as we can. Is there anybody left in the mother baby room? If there is, we can shut those lights off. We done? We don't have enough?
Do we have any more?
I had 3 boxes. That was it. Well, you're going to have to share. I don't get one. I'm just kidding. All right. So let's all get our book. What song?
Page 429.
All right. Is that as dark as it gets? All right. Okay. Thank you, baby. Who needed one?
Those are all the switches.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
World angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth
That's fine.
God and sinners reconciled, joyful the nations rise.
Join
the triumph of the skies with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Page 426. Hopefully everybody was drinking their tea. Page 426. I drink coffee on accident. Page 426, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Sing it out on the first. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolve from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Our last song is going to be page 431. Page 431, Silent Night, Holy Night. Page 431 on the first. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sigh, glory stream from heaven. sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. On the last. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light. With the angels let us sing alleluia to our King. Is born. Christ the Savior is born.
All right, that was great. Thank you, Brother Sean, for getting the lights off. I don't know how he did it, but it worked out, and we still. Did you guys even see after that? I was like a mole. I was like, anyway. Well, I hope you all have a Merry Christmas, and thanks all for coming tonight and having this special night. Let's bow our words and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for coming to this world and dying for us, Lord, and raising from the dead, Lord, and all the gifts that you give us, Lord, and especially the gift of salvation and everlasting life. And, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, and for everything that you do for us. And Lord, we're a people that's appreciative of what you do for us. And I pray that you just help us to have a blessed and safe holiday as we go our separate ways and bring us back to church on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, turn out your lights and then...